Good evening to all of you. I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord this evening for the last sermon today. I'm always happy to be here, to be able to serve the Lord. With the best of my ability, that's for sure. Welcome to those who are watching over this live streaming. I pray that you are here in the right heart to hear God's word today. And so, with that, I really appreciate the words of my brother Adam this morning. And because it kind of made me think about a little bit about what is my sermon today. What Christ did today, or what Christ did over 2,000 years ago, it's something that some people take it for it's a story, or some people take it, believing that it was true. And knowing that what we know is, it can be painful. Today is a day that many people are celebrating this day a different way. I just went to my family's house to celebrate Easter, and they gave me the opportunity to pray over the food. And of course, I always get nervous, and I try to say it in a way that today we are here to glorify Jesus Christ for the sacrifice that he did for us, for our sins. And my stomach is pretty full. I ate so much. But now I hope you guys are the same. You had a good meal today. But this is something, our way we feel right now, by tonight, by tomorrow, it will go away. It's just temporary. And when we feast upon the word of God, I believe it's forever. And you will feel full from his word. I'm going to read something real quick in the book of Leviticus, which has something to do with Brother Adam's sermon this morning. And it's in Leviticus 17, 14. And it says, For is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, you should eat the blood of no man, and no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood. Therefore, whosoever eat it shall be cut off. And verse 12 says, therefore I say unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither should any stranger the sojourner among you will eat the blood, because the blood is the life. And that is one of the commandments that God gave to the people of Israel in those days. I've been listening to all these books from Genesis to Numbers, Exodus and Leviticus, or Leviticus. Am I saying it right? I think about it a little bit, about this, how it was in those days. And I can tell you that out of all those laws that God made in those days for the Israelites, I don't believe that we would not make it. We almost break every law. And that's why when Christ came, there's a verse that says that he paid it all. He made things easier for us by giving us the freedom of choice. They are giving us the opportunity, not as it was in those days of when the Israelites were in the desert. That is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. But by Christ coming and there what he did for us, we have it easy. And even that, we still having trouble. We still haven't met his instructions, his commandments. We still continue messing up. And so today, people celebrate today in their own way. Some of them, they don't even know what's celebrating. And because believing, it's very hard to believe in something you don't see, and something that you didn't experience, and something you haven't read. So it's hard. But in their hearts, they're celebrating the Easter. Like, what is Easter stands for? There's so much to say about that. So I have this picture here in this my first slide. Rivers of living water will gush forth. And this is just a picture that I found I'm sure my brothers have run into this picture not website, but it's part of the computer system. I don't know. And you get to choose the background. And so I choose this background because you can see a lake right there in the middle, and it kind of reflects the mountains and the snow. And it's almost like you cannot see it. It kind of blends in with the panorama there. But if you see it really close, it's right there. So that's what my sermon is about today. Believing in the things that we believe in what Christ did for us today. What we're celebrating today, that he suffered on the cross for our sins. In John 14:8-9, it says, Philip saying to him, Lord, show us the Father. John 14:8-9. And is sufficient to us. She is saying to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And that's one of the things, one of the people fight these days, and we have so many beliefs, especially when it comes to religions. A lot of the times I should say, they don't know who they worship. You know, and I believe it's in the book of John, in the last chapters, it says, you know, the in Christ's words, he said, from the beginning, from the days of Moses, they've been speaking about him even way, way back. So he is not just found in the New Testament. He is found in the Old Testament also. That when you read it, if you read it, asking God to give you understanding, is talking about Christ. Like when Moses gave water to Israelites in the desert, that he hit the rock twice. The rock was Christ. He is the living water. Christ is the living water. So even from way down back then, Christ has been mentioned many, many times. And people don't have that understanding or believing that even his own people, and that's why he was denied. He was put to death because what he was claiming to be. Believing, it takes a long time. And even here in our church, we have very serious testimonies. Testimonies, if other people will hear it, they will not believe. Some of us here have heard and see God. That will sound very crazy for someone who has no faith or has no belief. We have a few people here. They claim they have seen God. They have seen Christ. Do you believe that? I do. I do believe that. My brother Adam said this morning, where do we go when we die? You cannot say, I have a peace of mind. I know where he is. I know where they go. But we're not so sure of that because we don't know their heart. We don't know their works. We don't know their faith. Only God knows. Only God knows. So, it is true. It is true what he said. We don't know where we're going. We're all going to be judged, but we don't know where we're going to go. But my goal is to be with Christ. And that is what we trying to do what Christ told us to do, to preach the gospel, to preach repentance, that we may have a small chance to be with him. In John 7:37-38, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man is thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believe in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And how that is going to happen? How is it this? What does that mean? What does that mean? In John 7:39 says, but this is speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's the promise. You know, during the time that Jesus was here in earth, his goal was to make us understand how to be saved. You know, to the Old Testament, they went worse and worse, And they will cry to God, and God answers them, blesses them greatly, and they will come back and turn around and go back and do their own things again. If you remember the two goats, the one that escaped, the one that stayed, those sacrifices were, they came out to be no more worthy to God. And that's why, because He loves us so much, He sent His only Son. So the who believe in Him will have life. And how true that is. So John 10:37-38, how is it that we're gonna have these rivers of water coming out of, gushing out of ourselves? If we haven't received Christ in our hearts, if we haven't been baptized, because what he's talking about here is about the Holy Ghost, and that's how we receive it. That the Holy Ghost symbolized the living waters. And we're gonna get there. We're gonna go into John 4:14. But whosoever, this is Christ, drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, a spring up into the everlasting life. God sometimes uses very weak and unlikely instruments for begin and carrying the good work. Our Savior teach this woman in the well, and her understanding was, give me up this water so I don't have to come back to this well and work to dig it out. And finally she dare come to the understanding who he was and what was that he was offering to her. That offer is still alive today. That offering is still for those who have not received him, which is, the time is short. And he is holding us over and over. I'm at the door knocking. And what he's saying, whosoever open the door, I will come in and dine with him. We have to think about those things and trying to listen to those knocks and open your heart to Christ. Because today is the day. As we know, we are here today, and tomorrow we are not. Blessed are those who are not offended by Christ, because that is the gift of God that he has given us, to you and I. And so we should have the learning of him. We should have the desire of learning of him, what he want us to do. And we continue on in John 4:7-13. Said, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me a drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then say the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is that saith to thee, give me the drink, thou wilt have asked of him, and he will give it. If he will have given thee the living waters. You know, when he was trying to testify that he was from the beginning, the people wanted to stone him. because he was not even 15 years old, and he was talking about the days of Abraham. And the woman saying to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw the water, the draw with the well, and the well is deep. From thence thou hast thought the living water, and art thou greater than our father Jacob, which give us this well, and drink thereof himself, his children, and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and saying to her, "Whosoever drink of this water shall be thirst again." The question is, how is that you can have this water alive? That is Christ's love for us. It's his love. In Matthew 11:29-30 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." It is not that difficult. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls." It's not difficult to come and drink of the living water, to have a small portion of his Holy Spirit in you. It's not difficult. I mean, you are here right now, and you are here for 1 hour. Well, my brother saw my thing of water here, so as long as I have this full, I'm going to just keep going. I don't know how long it will take me. But the time is getting shorter. So learn of me. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. It's not too hard to understand what I'm trying to do for you, what I'm trying to show you how you can be saved. Only trust. That's what he's asking us, to trust in him. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In John 3:1-5, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and saying to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him." He is God, and he knows it, but he just did not want to admit it, maybe because he was scared, afraid. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He just told you what to do. He just told us what to do. When we bury ourselves in the water in the name of Jesus, we come back as a new creature, and the old man stays behind. It stays buried, and you are become a new creation. You have been born again. You have a second chance to do good in your life. Have a second chance to live. Second chance to be with God. That's what it means. That's what it means. It's not too difficult. It takes valor, responsibility. I think that's what the problem is. That you don't want to change your life. You don't want to change the way you live. You don't want to change the things you do. That's what the problem is. You don't want to become a different person, a humble person. You want to be a tough person, an outgoing person. You want to fit with the others. And after all, that's That's not what God wants of us. So that's what the problem is. But if you humble yourself and accept Christ in you, believe me, that change, it will change your life, and sometimes you're not going to even miss the things that you used to love to do. Not that I was somebody who drink a lot and do drugs or whatever. I thank God that I never did that in my life in a way that I could have become an addictor. But it can happen to any of us. And that's what he's trying to prevent. That's what we're trying to prevent. I don't want to see you in a corner of the street begging for money. Because that's what everybody ends. Remember that the price, the reward of the sin is death. There is nothing good that comes from evil. Nothing good. And if you are read, I believe it's in John, I can't remember the chapter, but it says that he has a mansion for us. And that's why he went back to the Father to make a mansion, to receive us. We just have to keep going in a straight and narrow path. John 4:25 says, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah come, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that I speak unto thee, I am he. It's very hard to believe that for many. And that's the struggle that we have in our daily life. That we trying to make people understand that all you need is Christ. He's the only way. He's the only way. There is no other way. He doesn't hire anybody else, because he's the one who stands by the door. So these days I can see that a lot of people trying to jump the wall and take the shortcut, but that's not where it works. He is the great shepherd, and we are his sheep, and we know his voice, and we follow him. And he stands by the door. That is amazing, to believe that one day we will see him as he is. So believe is what we need to work on our salvation. Second Nephi 6, chapter 81 to 82, it says, behold, the way for men is narrow, but a light and straight course before him, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there, and there is none other way save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. A lot of the times, my comments goes with my scriptures without even thinking about it, and as you just heard, that only through him and by him we can be saved. Even that the narrow path is difficult, which is our life. We will run into so many problems in our life. But as long as we keep ourselves and focus on Christ, we have to keep going. When we are mountain biking with my brother Gary, we run into these uphills full of rocks. You can either get stuck in the middle, but if you really focus on the top and just go without thinking, with all your strength, you can make it to the top. I find it similar to our life. We're going to have so many obstacles, sicknesses, problems in lives, work, jobs, people that have no jobs, and all those things that can bring you down. But let's not forget that, you know, in God, we are rich. We are rich because we all know that what we fight for here, it will stay here. We will not take it with us. In John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And this is what is about today. That he is not just your Lord, your God, your Savior. It's your friend too. Remember, he said, what friend gives his life for his friend? He loves you. He loves us so much. They call us friends. Not just his servants, but we are his friends. 2 Nephi 6:99, 1-2. I come, my brethren, every one that is thirst, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do not spend money for that which is not worth, nor you labor for that which cannot satisfy you. Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come into the Holy One of Israel. He is calling you over and over. He is calling us over and over. Don't ignore this, and feast upon that which is perish not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in fatness. Rejoice in his word. But I tell you what, that you will rejoice even greatly when he lives in you. When Christ lives in us, you will feel more rejoiced, you will feel more full, because you have the spirit of him in you. When you have that type of life and the richness of this world, you will start to understand, you will start to learn how to ignore all these things, because there's no need to have those things. There's no need. How you know when you are full with the stuff? You will never feel full. But when we have the Spirit of the Lord, we don't need these things. We don't need. There won't be no satisfaction. Like I said, I eat so much today, but tomorrow I will feel empty again. And I will be more hungry over and over and over. But when we feast on the Word of God, we are full. Every Sunday that we meet here is like recharge. It recharges us for the next week to come. Because I know, and you know, that you're going to run into things that you're going to have to know how to block those things, how to ignore them. That's what we learn every time that we are here. When you read your scriptures, feast upon them. 2 Nephi 13:14-15. And the Father said, Repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son, and also The voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which you have seen me to do. We're going to have a sacrament pretty soon. And that's one of the things that we have to watch and do in remembrance of him. We're going to have to learn that he was baptized in the waters by John without having sin. Do the things that you see me do. All those things can make a big difference in your life. And Luke 5, chapter 5, 30-32, but the scribes and the Pharisees murmur against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, They that are whole need not physician, but they are sick. I came not to call righteousness, but sinners to repentance. Repentance means that you want to be changed of your life. Repentance. And that's the commandment we have from him, to preach repentance. That's all he is asking of us, to repent and to come to him. 2 Nephi 13, 18. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus come the voice of the Son unto me, saying, After that you have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with a tongue of an angel, and after this so deny me, it would have been better for you that you had not known me. This is a warning. You know, sometimes it kind of applies to the it talks about the seeds. When the seeds falls in good ground, in rocky area, a lot of the times is so true, because you see people that comes to church and they comes with great joy, and so much that they end up being baptized, but at the end you don't see them no more. This is a warning. You have to see deep in your heart that that's the things that you want to do, to be part of the church, to be part of God, to follow Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. For us to do the good, we had to be born of the Spirit again. And that is how you earn this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. It will be in you like a living water, that it will never run low. Romans 8:9, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. When we have God's Spirit, we love all men. We have his love, so we love all men. We love all of us, all those who are around us. And so by that, our greatest desire is to preach the gospel, is to preach life change, that you may find a way to repent. That is is our desire and it shall be our desire. Second Nephi 6:89-92. Oh my beloved brethren, turn away from your sins. Shake off the chains of him that will bind you fast. Come into the God which is the rock of your salvation. Prepare your souls for that glorious day when justice shall be administered to the righteousness, even the day of judgment, that you may not shrink with awful fear, that you may not remember your awful guilt and perfectness, and be constrained to exclaim, "Holy, holy are the judgments. The Lord God Almighty." He's telling us to go, not to follow those things, and come to the Holy One of Israel. You know, when you have joy, when you have times of you just having fun and not knowing there's a lot of things going on behind that. That is what he says here, shake off the chains of him that will bind you, because you will be bound and bound and bound without even notice that when the time comes, those chains will be hard to break if you don't have Christ in you. We are your witness. We are witness. We all witness. Joshua 24:25-27 says, this is when Joshua was trying to go, when he went over the Jordan after the death of Moses. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book, in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he speak unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. This rock shall be a witness unto us, because it has heard all the words that the Lord speak unto us. It made me wondering, who was this rock? And in those days, perhaps that's how it is, used to write things down, just so people will not forget. But it amazed me what it says, it has heard the words. So we know the law. We know. And God is our witness. My next slide says, it's about about what Christ went through. So let us remember what he did for me and you. Just think a little bit about what happened when the Jews were accusing him and not taking a word of understanding from the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, that he was trying to do his best to release him. But the people were not wanting to hear, they not want to listen. And so, what happened in that day? They cried out, they have this custom, they would relieve someone that was in jail for another one. And so they asked for this guy who was really mean or awful guy. His name was Barabbas. And they asked for him instead of asking for Christ to let him go, having no fault or anything. And so Pilate asked him quite a few times, what do you want me to do with him? Because he didn't want to kill him. What did they say? Crucify him and let Barabbas go. I can say that guy was the most lucky man in the whole world that I could have pointed out to him, do you see the cross right over there from far off? That could have been you. But hey, somebody else choose and take that place for you. So consider yourself as consider yourself like this guy. We are as lucky as this guy that Christ took this place, your place, my place, and went and died on the cross for you and I. So don't forget what he did for you, that you may be redeemed by his blood. And that's why those sacrifices in the beginning of the goats used to be for the sins of the people. Well, and this time was different. It was by the blood of someone who had no fault, no sin, no anything. And he took your place, and we won't let go as Barabbas. Pilate saying to the people in Luke 23:16-18, it says, I will therefore chastise him and release him for a necessary he must release one unto them in that feast. And they cried out all at once and saying, away with this man, and release us unto us Barabbas. Consider yourself these things. Just think about these words today and just pour out your heart to him today. For we have been let go instead of paying for our sins, that he died on the cross, that we may be redeemed. So the choice is yours today. The choice is yours to either accept him in your heart or not, and continue doing what you love to do in this world. But I told you that God, Christ is the only way. There is no other way. And if you want that gift of the Holy Ghost, you should think a little more deeper on what you want to do. And that's my message for tonight. I hope that I made a point, that it was a blessing for you.
Our service tonight with song 277. If you would turn there and stand, 277.